Saturday Night Theatre, Murder for Pleasure. We present Tragedy at Law by Cyril Hare, dramatised for radio by James Pickles, with Benjamin Whitrow as Mr. Justice Barber and June Barry as Hilda Barber. The play begins a few weeks after the outbreak of World War II in the autumn of 1939. Tragedy at Law.
No trumpeters?
I'm afraid not, my lord.
But, Mr. High Sheriff, we've always had trumpeters.
I realise that.
In all the 8 years I've been a High Court judge, trumpeters in full livery, at the opening of every assize.
We must blame Adolf Hitler.
Well, the war's only been on for 6 weeks.
Two of the trumpeters joined the army.
Oh, I see.
And the other the navy.
You'll be telling me next I can't have my rolls.
Oh, my lord. While I'm Sheriff of Markshire, there will be a Rolls-Royce to bring you to court. Even if I have to sell my own.
Couldn't come and afford.
As His Majesty's representative in this county, I shall always...
I shall have a new marshal coming this morning.
Not a marshal of the Royal Air Force.
No, 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 no. No, the judge's marshal is a very ancient office. They're rarer than they used to be. They're young barristers who've just qualified. They come on circuit with the High Court judge and stay with him at the various judges' lodgings.
Interesting. What do they do, then?
Well, they generally make themselves useful. Sort of secretary, in a way. Where's Beamish? That clerk of mine's never here when I want him. He's too keen on his darts. He's got a dartboard through there in his room. Are you there, Beamish?
Coming, my lord. The marshal has just arrived. Mr. Justice Barber, Mr. Derrick Marshall.
How do you do, my lord?
Marshal by name and marshal by occupation. I remember. Meet the High Sheriff, Brigadier Habberton.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Glad to see you're smartly dressed, Marshal.
My lord, The chief constable just telephoned. Heppenstall has been released.
Heppenstall?
Mm.
And they think he'll try
you
to...
You remember what he threatened when you sent him down? He's been bitter all through his sentence.
I gave him 5 years.
Oh, by Jove.
Mm. What do the police want me to do?
Heppenstall was here last night in Markhampton.
Then he must be planning to...
I knew we should see that man again.
He's trying to frighten me.
They'll have him, if he tries anything.
Well, as he's as he's got a brief here, I suppose we ought to invite Francis Pettigrew to lunch, Beamish.
I'll see to that, my lord.
Have a word with Pettigrew, Marshal. He's in my old chambers. He might take you on as a pupil.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
Pettigrew was a brilliant scholar, first-class honours and all that, but never quite lived up to his early promise. But even so... Your wife is coming to lunch, High Sheriff.
She wouldn't miss it for the world.
Time to go into court, my lord.
Oh, yes, yes. Punctuality. Vital. Remember that, Marshal.
Silence! All manner of persons having anything to do before my lord the King's Justice of Oyer and Terminer and General Jail Delivery in and for the county of Markshire, draw near and give your attendance. My lord, the King's Justice, does strictly charge and command all persons to keep silence while the commission of the peace is read.
You'll have another sherry before we go into lunch, Mrs. Heberton.
Oh, rather.
You know Francis Pettigrew, High Sheriff.
Saw you in action this morning.
How do you do, Mr. High Sheriff?
Oh, you had that chap on the rack, all right.
He looks very guilty.
Well, they all do. They all are, most of them, but... proving it.
Never thought of that.
Luncheon is served, my lord.
Oh, jolly good. It's through here, isn't it?
Forgive me, Mrs. Haberton. On circuit, the judge takes precedence over everybody, even ladies.
Oh, how silly of me.
Mm.
You represent the king. I suppose I should have curtsied when I entered.
Personally, I don't care for that sort of thing, but some of my colleagues... Are you prosecuting in the murder tomorrow, Pettigrew?
You may be thinking of the Ockenhurst murder. I am in that for the defence.
That is a poor person's defence, is it not? Wonderful system, High Sheriff.
Poor persons?
They get counsel to defend them at the expense of the state.
Oh. Good old British justice.
You'll earn a good deal of your income from poor persons' defences, Marshal, in your early days.
I hope so, my lord.
Well, it's worth it for the experience. The system is an improvement on the old days. I You know what some of my predecessors would have said, the state paying to defend a criminal.
It's essential, Judge.
Yeah, they might have thought it part and parcel of that sentimentality, which is becoming far too common.
Hear, hear. That's what I say.
Bolshevism, that's what's behind it.
The outcry against capital punishment, for example. What do you think, Marshal?
I couldn't hang anybody.
Yeah, not part of your duties?
But if I couldn't do it...
Sentimentality. A disease that afflicts the young. Pettigrew, for instance. He used to be very anti-hanging.
I still am, Judge.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. The illusions of youth die hard with some of us.
Illusions?
I would extend the death penalty.
Stretching the stretching, eh?
What was that, Pettigrew? What? Oh! Well, you will have your little joke, but it's a serious matter. We should hang far more criminals.
I agree entirely. Every time.
We're too soft.
The habitual thief, for example, mm-hmm. or the reckless motorist, mm-hmm. they're better out of this world.
And may hope to find justice in the next.
It's time to go back into court. Yeah.
Excuse me, my lord.
What is it, Beamish?
I found this letter for you just now.
Oh, yes.
It must have arrived while your lordship was having lunch. By hand.
To Mr. Justice Barber, alias the Shaver, or should it be old Father William, justice will be done even to judges. Be sure that your sins will find you out. Now... Marshal, hand this to Sir Arthur.
Sir Arthur?
Yes, the Chief Constable.
Yes, my lord.
And this evening you'll need your dinner jacket. We're going to Judge's Night at the Barrister's Mess, the best wine cellar in Markshire.
Derek, have your duties as Marshal brought you into contact with Hilda?
Hilda?
Lady Barber, the Judge's wife. She was in our chambers. Very clever girl, Hilda. Very promising barrister. She and I, we got on like a house on fire till the Shaver took her over. He had a bigger practice than I had, and Hilda's never taken the vow of poverty.
You don't like my judge, do you, Pettigrew?
Ah, call me Francis. Well, who does like him? Tell me, who does? Not even Beamish, his faithful clerk. He hates the Shaver's guts.
And Hilda?
Oh, even Hilda. I doubt whether even she... Well, she likes the lady bit. Lovely woman, though.
Marshal!
Yes, Judge?
Sorry to interrupt your intimate conversation with Pettigrew. Did you give that billy-do to the chief?
He's taking it seriously.
It's extraordinary how many anonymous letters a judge gets. One takes no notice of them. Have to have a thick skin to do my job.
You would say that again.
What else did the chief say?
He said something about the man named Heppenstall.
More port, Judge.
Yeah, I'm driving. Not easy with this damn blackout. And it's time we were going back to the lodgings, Marshal. Where are you staying, Pettigrew?
The county.
Cheaper than here at the club, eh?
I prefer the county.
Give you a lift.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Judge. Most kind.
This damn rain doesn't make it any easier.
No street lighting, either.
Slits of light from the headlamps.
I've given up driving. Until the war ends.
Hard to see a thing.
Next turn left, Judge.
Should have let you drive, Marshal.
I may have had too much.
We turn left here, Judge.
Why didn't you say so, please? We haven't hit something, have we?
I think we may have.
Something or someone.
Oh, dear.
What's happened here, then, sir?
A slight skid, officer, that's all.
Who's this?
What?
He knocked this man down.
Where?
He's unconscious.
Who saw it?
Come and give me a hand, please.
Must have stepped out in front.
How cold he is.
Ran out in front.
He's badly hurt.
He must have.
We shall need an ambulance.
He's drunk, isn't he?
An ambulance and quick.
Shall I go and telephone?
No, let me. My hotel's just round.
And, then I'll have to ask you gentlemen to accompany me to the space. Now, my lord, I have to see your license and certificate of insurance.
Oh, yes, Constable, certainly. I always carry them. Here.
Thank you, sir.
One never knows. Sudden emergency can happen any time. Is something wrong, officer?
This certificate, sir.
Yes?
Is it the latest?
Why?
It's out of date.
Out of date?
Expired.
Impossible.
Look, my lord.
I renewed it. I think I did.
It is out of date, Judge. By months.
I'm afraid I shall have to caution you, my lord. I'm sorry, but I have to treat everybody...
Don't you think, officer, that the best thing is to report this to your superior? Then perhaps the chief constable can go and discuss it with his lordship at the lodgings.
Thank you, my lord, for telling me all about it.
Yeah, not at all, chief constable.
Most unfortunate.
The blackout.
Can happen to anybody.
I don't even know the poor fellow's name.
Sebald Smith. He was staying in Markhampton with friends.
And his injuries?
Mild concussion. A crushed finger, a few small bruises. Slight shock.
Yes, well, 100 or so should cover it if the finger recovers. This is a worry with there being no insurance.
I'd forgotten about that little matter.
Sir Arthur, I'm very much obliged to you for your coming to see me and for being so understanding.
My lord, the anonymous letter that came yesterday, it may have emanated from Robert Heppenstall.
I know.
There is one point to save you uneasiness. People who plan crimes of violence don't usually advertise it, do they? But I shall post a man at the front of the lodgings, and another at the back, night and day.
Ah, Derek. What happened this morning? The chief constable.
He was with the judge for about half an hour.
Putting their heads together.
What do you mean?
To keep things quiet.
Would they, Francis?
Proclaim it from the housetops. That'd never do.
But I mean, justice being...
But my dear fellow, you can get rid of thoughts like that if you want to get on at the bar. You don't suffer from ideals, do you?
I'm not ashamed of them.
But what the judge tried before the local beats.
Well, he shouldn't be treated differently because he's a judge.
Judges have to be treated differently. It can be rather bad for them as individuals, and it gives the weaker brethren, like Barber, swollen heads. But it's good for public respect.
This is all rather bewildering.
Yeah. You'll learn.
Francis, you're saying it should all be hushed up.
I want you to promise to keep your mouth tightly shut, Derek.
Excuse me, my lord. This letter has just come for you.
Oh, thank you, Beamish.
Delivered by hand? Another? Coming to be a regular...
Only one word. Murderer. Another for the chief constable, Beamish. I'll be glad to get to Southington tomorrow. I hope we have a better assize there. At least Lady Barbara will be with us.
These letters have come for you, William.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Your correspondence should be addressed to you at the courts.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Hilda, nothing.
Who's that letter from?
I'm just puzzled by the name.
What is it?
It's not one that you'd know. Sebastian Sebald Smith.
I'm not a complete Philistine. He's one of the best-known pianists alive.
A pianist?
Give me the letter. We act on behalf of who was injured on the 12th instant, High Street, Markhampton. Serious injury to the knuckle joint of one finger. May have to be amputated. Grave consequence to a person in our client's position. Glad to know the name of your lordship's insurance company. Really, William, you're incorrigible. Why didn't you tell me about this? I suppose you were entirely to blame.
It's difficult to...
How many times have I told you not to drive at night? Thank heaven this hasn't got into the papers. Sebald Smith, he's the sort of man who insures his hands for thousands.
I'd rather not talk about it, Hilda.
I'll deal with this letter. You have informed your insurance company. Well, have you or haven't you?
This is why I didn't tell you about it, dear.
William, Are you trying to tell me that you're not insured at all?
I overlooked it.
Overlooked it? My God! If you must run over someone, why pick on Cecil Smith? He'll want enormous damages.
He may not lose the finger.
Can we plead contributory negligence?
We can't possibly fight the case. I mean, the publicity.
This may ruin us.
We must settle on the best terms we can.
This may ruin us, William. Financially.
If the case gets to court, I shall have to resign.
No.
The Lord Chancellor is bound to take a very serious view.
Just how much money have you in the world, William? Apart from your 5,000 a year salary.
5,000 gross.
How much?
Well, as you know, dear, we haven't been able to save all that much. I mean, there isn't a fortune to fall back on. There's my pension, of course, but I have another 7 years before I draw on that.
Where are you going to find the 10,000 or so that the man will expect for his finger?
We must cut our expenditure.
I'll write to Michael.
Oh, your brother?
He's the one solicitor who won't gossip. I'll go to London and tell him all about it. He can just acknowledge this letter for the time being. The longer we keep Sebald Smith hanging about, the better. After a few months, he'll be much more reasonable.
Yes, dear.
I hear that Francis Pettigrew has a brief in your court tomorrow. Let's invite him to dinner.
Well, Pettigrew came to lunch at Markhampton.
Why can't you call him Francis?
I've never been as close to him as you were.
Centuries ago.
He's never married.
I find Francis amusing.
No, well, I can't entertain counsel on one side only.
You did at Markhampton. Who's against Francis in his case tomorrow?
Martin Flack.
Then that's settled. Invite Flack to dinner, too.
Is there more coffee in that pot, Marshal?
So sorry, Judge.
Let me pour you some, Judge.
Oh, thank you, Flack.
That was an excellent dinner, Judge.
Yes, excellent.
Well, we haven't begun to feel the effects of wartime.
Economies will be coming soon.
Before I forget, Pettigrew, Hilda's brother will be writing to you.
He's a solicitor.
Oh?
Many conveyances.
He wants a statement.
Ah, yes. Gladly.
You've heard about the judge's little escapade, Martin?
It's very bad luck.
Do all the bar know?
There have been vague rumours, haven't there, Derek?
I would imagine so. I haven't said a word myself, though.
Did I meet Sebald Smith at your house, Judge?
Yeah, impossible.
About 6 or 7 years ago, someone brought him to a cocktail party. Sally Parsons, perhaps?
Oh, I know Sally.
Not well, I hope.
I thought she was a friend of yours, Hilda.
Friend?
Hmm.
Spell it without the R, if you like.
Well, you were friendly.
She's still seen about with Sebastian. A dull relationship, one would have thought.
All the tedium of marriage without the respectability.
Sally Parsons and morals. Oil and water.
Where is that box of Hardiman's, Marshal?
I'll get them, Judge.
I didn't know you'd seen them, William.
I don't need to see my favourite chocolates. I could sniff them a mile off. If ever I have to do without my Hardiman's, the nation will be on its knees.
They're a gift from an admirer of William's.
Really?
Oh, don't sound so surprised, Martin.
Oh, I don't mean that.
What admirer?
An anonymous one. They came through the post this morning.
No note?
Nothing.
From an accused who got off?
It's possible.
A rare bird in your court, Judge?
That'll do, Pettigrew.
Would you care for a chocolate, Martin?
After his lordship.
Yes. Now, let me see. This one in silver paper is my favourite of favourites.
Francis?
No. Doctor won't let me.
Martin?
No, I don't either.
What about you then, Marshal?
After you, Lady Barbara.
I like this one best. Apart from William, I must be Hardiman's leading supporter.
What's wrong, Hilda?
Don't eat it, William.
I haven't.
Glass of water, quick.
What's wrong, Lady Barbara?
They've been poisoned. Oh, my God.
Can I do anything?
A doctor.
No need.
No, but if they're poisoned.
I didn't swallow any. I'll be all right.
Can I do anything, Lady Barbara?
There's something I should have told you, Hilda. I didn't want to worry you. At Markhampton, I had two threatening letters, anonymous.
I had no idea. You told the police?
Well, they are looking for a certain man.
Well, go on, who?
It could be Heppenstall.
Bob Heppenstall? But you gave him 5 years.
Remission.
I told you not to try that case, William.
Look, Hilda, Hilda, as the only High Court judge at the Old Bailey...
People said you had Bob Heppenstall's case put into your list deliberately.
Well, it's no use going all over all that now.
And 5 years was too long.
The Court of Criminal Appeal didn't think so.
They didn't know him personally. You did. Bob must have thought he'd get off lightly appearing before his friend.
I have to treat everybody alike.
Should we perhaps find out what's been put in the chocolates and who sent them?
The address was typewritten. I burnt the wrapping paper.
Well, the chocolates must be analysed.
Well, the police will see to that.
Yeah, it's a little hard to explain, I mean, but I would prefer some private inquiry.
They must be analysed without delay.
Dear Martin, we heard you the first time.
Well, I'd like to do the analysis myself.
You, Fleck?
Yes, I'm interested in chemistry, you know.
No, I didn't.
I have my own little laboratory at home, my stinks room, my wife calls it. a great sense of humour. I'd like you both to meet her. Mm.
She sounds delightful.
Well, I look at the chocolate that you partly ate, Lady Barbara. I wonder.
You've solved it already?
Pass me the water, Derek.
Water?
Thank you.
You're going to... pour water on it.
Ordinary H2O.
But it's... it smells like...
yes. Acetylene gas.
What on earth are you...
The contents of that chocolate are...
carbide?
No less.
A very odd choice for a poisoner.
This is no more than a stupid practical joke.
I don't find it amusing.
Swallowed whole. This chocolate could even be fatal, but no one consumes a hard chocolate in that manner... A bite or a crunch give instant revelation and repudiation. Mm.
Somebody has played a practical joke on me.
On us? Who can it be?
That's what I intend to find out.
Yeah. Judge, if you don't mind, I think it's time I was on my way.
Mm. What? Oh, yes. Well, it's after 12 years. I haven't realised.
So I must go too.
Thank you for your help.
It was a splendid dinner.
Despite the denouement.
it's time I went to bed. Yes.
Well, good night.
Good night to all.
Good night.
Thank you again, ladies.
Good night.
Pleasure.
Is someone really trying to kill me?
You think so?
I'm exaggerating. I mean, I've had two silly abusive letters, but I've had dozens of them in the past.
And Heppenstall?
Oh, it's probably a sheer coincidence. He happened to be at Markhampton.
William, my instinct tells me...
Instinct?
That, yes.
Women's instinct.
From the very beginning of this circuit, there's been an atmosphere of danger.
Well, we're going to Wimblingham tomorrow. If anything happens there, coincidence can be ruled out.
I've decided to come with you.
No judge's wife ever goes to the Wimblingham lodges.
I know they're lousy, but it's my duty to look after you. Oh, by the way, I've had a letter from Brother Michael.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to spoil your dinner. Sebald Smith is asking for 15,000.
Preposterous.
His finger has been amputated.
Oh, oh dear.
Well, Michael wants to know what counteroffer to make.
And how can I advise on my own case?
Why not ask one of your brother judges, Alistair or Henry?
This wretched musician has me at his mercy. And he knows I can't afford the publicity of going to court. If he won't be reasonable...
He won't be while that Sally Parsons woman is with him. But 15,000 is only a bargaining figure.
How can I get it home to you, Hilda? Sebald Smith has only to issue a writ with my name on it, and my position on the bench becomes untenable.
So, Marshal... We are leaving Southington tomorrow, eh?
Round and round the circuit we go, Mr. Beamish.
Things haven't been too easy on the domestic side here.
With luck, Wimblingham should be better.
What, now her ladyship's coming? I'll tell you this, Marshal. I wish her joy of it in those lodgings.
What's wrong with them?
No judge's lady has stayed there since 1912, except Lady Fosbury, and she doesn't count.
I really can't discuss Lady Barbara's decision.
I am discussing the lodgings at Wimblingham.
What is wrong with them?
Well, bits of the place go back to the Normans. Most of it's 17th century. It's all part of the court building. You go out your bedroom, down two steps, turn right, you're in the public gallery. And you can still see the window when it took them out to be hanged.
What are the bedrooms like?
Oh, two decent ones, and one just passable. The just passable one is yours. Usually it's mine. Lady Fosbury and her husband, they were old-fashioned. They slept in the same room.
So this, Mr. Beamish, is the bedroom you said was just passable.
You should see mine.
The wallpaper's coming off.
Just not passable.
And as for the bed...
Look, it's sherry time downstairs.
Turn right when you get out of here. Keep straight on for about 2 miles till you come to the staircase down there, and you're in the main part of the lodgings. But mind how you go. There's no proper lighting.
Marshall? Isn't all this too exquisitely foul? We've been trying to think of something really stinging to put in the visitor's book.
You have, dear.
I'm sure there are rats in my bedroom. I don't know about yours, William. I must be the bravest woman in England, venturing where no other judge's wife has ever been.
Ah, except Lady Falsbury.
Lady who?
Her arrival apparently did not add to the bedroom accommodation required.
What a very sweet way of putting it.
We shall only be here for 2 nights. There are 4 criminal cases and the civil action has been settled.
Good.
Wimblingham has always been a very peaceful place.
I can't see myself sleeping a wink in that bed. It'll be one long nightmare. Why do the judge and Francis Pettigrew dislike each other so much? Is it something to do with Hilda? Lovely Hilda. Is the judge really in danger? Or is somebody playing the fool with him? Pulling his leg or something. And this happens, Stall. Who the devil is he? I keep talking about him, but nobody says who he is, except that he knew the judge who sent him down. I could ask Beamish, but he's familiar enough already. Anyway, I can't stand the man. What the devil's going on? I've got to do something. Where are my slippers? Where are my switch? Oh, that's there. That's better. Dressing up. Oh, those damn two steps. Why is there no light in this corridor? Who's that? Who's there? You've knocked me down. Who are you? Stop blinding me with that torch.
Oh, it's you, Marshal.
Mr. Beamish.
You know, you nearly gave me a nasty fall.
You did give me one. What's going on?
Well, that's what I came to find out. Disgrace, no lights in this corridor. It's a bleeding blackout, I suppose.
Beamish! Beamish, is that you?
Come in, my lord.
I'll come with you.
Lady Barber has been attacked.
Oh, my eye. It's my eye. There's blood.
Get a doctor, someone.
The police are supposed to be gone.
I'll rouse her, my lady, and ring for a doctor.
Should we help Lady Barber back to bed?
Yes, thank you, Marshal.
Are you all right, William?
Yes, I'm all right, dear.
He hit me. It's my head.
She passed out. How is Lady Barber this morning, Judge?
As well as can be expected. Toast, please.
So sorry.
Read your Times yet, Marshal?
I get the Manchester Guardian.
Do you really? I don't like the look of things in Finland.
No. Can I do anything for Lady Barber?
No, she must be kept very quiet.
Sorry to disappoint you, William.
My dear, you should be in bed.
I didn't mean to startle you. I know I look hideous.
Never.
My eye.
The doctor insisted that you stay in bed.
Yes, well, he doesn't know what these beds are like.
He had a nasty experience.
It was all I could do to get out of my room. A great fat policeman was blocking the way. On the stable door principle.
Can I get you anything, Lady Barber?
No, I have some of this toast.
Yes?
Excuse me, my lord.
Yes, Beamish?
The chief constable is here.
Yes. Come in, Sir Arthur.
Oh, I am sorry to disturb your breakfast.
It has to be done, I suppose.
Excuse me, I have other matters.
Now, Lady Barber, please tell me about this distressing episode.
Well, I woke up at what turned out to be 3:15, and there was a noise in the passage, so I went towards my husband's room.
Well, why did you make for there?
I thought there might be an attempt on his life.
Ah, the anonymous letters.
And a few days ago, an anonymous person sent us some chocolates that had been tampered with. We should have told you.
You still have them?
Oh, yes. Anyway, it was dark in the passage, so I felt my way along the wall. And as I got to the judge's door, I bumped into someone. The man, whoever he was, got hold of my throat, and then I felt a terrific blow in the eye.
You couldn't see his face?
Oh, hopeless.
This doesn't seem to fit. The man who sent the letters might also have sent the chocolates, but not violence.
And how did he get into these lodgings and out again without being apprehended?
Oh, this building's a security nightmare. So many entrances. Easy for someone to come in during the day and hide.
There's no sign of forcible entry.
None.
Yes, very odd.
Could the assailant be someone resident in the lodging?
Oh, never.
I'll tell you one thing, Sir Arthur. I can't wait to get on that train tomorrow. No judge's lady will ever come back to Wimblingham. This one won't. Thank goodness they reserved this compartment for us.
Well, even in wartime, civilization has not lost all its trappings. Excuse me, my dear. The train will soon be standing in the station.
Marshal, come and have tea with me at the Queen Anne Club tomorrow.
You want me to?
It's in Piccadilly.
Well, thank you.
We'll say 4:30, shall we? Marshal, I'm very, very worried. William doesn't pay any regard for his personal safety. He never has.
What do you propose, Lady Barbara?
Do you know what a judge's marshal originally was? A bodyguard. He slept across the door of the judge's room.
On 2 guineas a day?
You and I have to be bodyguards for the rest of the circuit.
You think the judge is in real danger?
Now, first we have an anonymous letter. Then the motor accident. Followed immediately by another letter. Whoever's planning all this knew about the accident. We're dealing with a very subtle, dangerous person. Then come the poisoned chocolates, and finally the assault on me.
But isn't this a job for the police?
Even so, at all times, day and night, William must be under the protection of one of us.
Where is he now?
Being followed at a discreet distance by an officer from the yard.
Does the judge know about your bodyguard idea, for you and me?
I don't want to alarm him. Perhaps you think all this is just too absurd. Derek.
I'm glad to help, Hilda.
Excuse me, Lady Barbara, but the gentleman here says you're expecting.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Millie. Do come and sit down, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Detective Inspector Mallet, Metropolitan Police.
This is Derek Marshall.
Yes, I've heard of you, sir.
Have you? You've had tea, Inspector?
Yes, thank you. Yes. I've inquired at Messrs. Hardiman's. The chocolates could have been purchased by anyone who went to their Bond Street shop between the 2nd and 7th Fleets.
Oh, hundreds.
Do you have any suggestions, ma'am, as to who might be responsible for all these incidents?
Bob Heppenstall. Lay hands on him.
He and you... I interviewed him this morning.
He's under arrest.
There was no charge on which we could.
But he's a convict on license.
Our powers are limited.
Prevention of Crimes Act, 1871.
He admits he was in Markhampton at the time of the assize, but he had apparently genuine reasons. He denies being in Wimblingham, and I can't disprove it.
So he's at liberty to murder my husband whenever he chooses?
I don't think he's our man.
Why?
Take the chocolates. Would he know that the judge likes Hardiman?
If he has a good memory.
Then the second letter. It seemed to refer to the accident on the previous night. But who knew about that?
Only those of us in the car.
Including Mr. Pettigrew.
Really, Inspector?
Were he at Wimblingham?
He had 2 briefs.
But that doesn't prove...
Do you suspect any member of staff?
Only Beamish.
His lordship's clerk.
A thoroughly unreliable, dangerous man.
How could he know about the accident?
The judge isn't born who could keep a secret from his clerk.
On the night Lady Barbara was attacked, I ran into Beamish in the corridor. He kicked me in the ribs with his boots.
Boots? You sure?
Certain.
Why would he be wearing boots at 2:45 a.m?
Well, if he hasn't any slippers...
Of course it's... he has.
What else was he wearing, Mr. Marshall?
It was too dark.
Well, next day, the judge said how comic Beamish had looked with his green pyjamas under his overcoat.
Yes, but the boots. If he was bent on a crime, he'd have crept about in soft footwear.
Inspector, all you seem to be doing is raising difficulties.
Oh, this isn't an ordinary investigation, my lady. What am I being asked to do? To prevent someone unknown from doing something I don't know what. We shall do our best.
Will you excuse me if I go now, Lady Barbara? It's getting foggy out there in Piccadilly.
I beg your pardon. My fault entirely. I wasn't looking.
Not a word, Derek.
Frances Pettigrew.
We may be observed.
Who by?
Oh, no. She's got into a taxi. It's going the other way.
Hilda?
Come for a drink at my club.
I can't.
Of course you can.
I have to meet my fiancé.
You have a fiancé?
Sheila Bartram. She's a nurse.
Oh, well, she'll wait. Nurses have to be patient. Well, I'm going for a drink. Several, in fact. Here's my club. Not as fine as Hilda's.
All right. Half an hour, then.
Put your hat and coat on that chair, and we'll sit here, shall we?
Thanks.
I always find the first few drinks cold and unsatisfying unless one has a friend to share them with.
Hello there, Mr. Paddington.
Ah, Harry.
A double scotch?
Yes. Derek?
Sweet sherry, please.
Sherry, is it? Oh.
Yes. And, how are the ideals?
I haven't lost them.
Oh, I had them at your age. Have you seen an evening paper?
No.
The Lord Chancellor has made Jefferson a county court judge.
Oh, had you expected to be...
This is the fifth I have applied for, and the last. Ah.
Hey, Arthur.
Thank you, Harry.
Very good.
Yeah.
Your very good health, Francis, sir. Hmm? And do cheer up.
It's not so much that I object to Jefferson, odious though he is, and bad as he'll be as a judge. The Lord Chancellor has finally indicated that I have no hope whatsoever.
Don't be too despondent.
Father William has it in for me, of course, and his word is bound to count. He's never forgiven me for being first with Hilda.
But that was ages ago.
Elephants and High Court judges never forget. How is Hilda?
Rather worried.
And a black eye spoilt her looks, pro tem.
How do you know about that?
I did two cases at Wimbledon. Father William is having an uncomfortable circuit.
Who is this man Heppenstall?
Harry, see him again, please.
Right away, Mr. Payne.
Good. Bob Heppenstall was a solicitor who went wrong. He was my client. But when I went to war in 14, the shaver took him over. The shaver was unfit.
Rather like me.
Oh, I didn't know. Anyway, Heppenstall was a very smart fella. He got into company work. He and William used to dine and wine together. And then came the stock market collapse. Heppenstall had been speculating and he started to borrow from clients' funds and eventually it all came out. But who should his case come up before but Mr. Justice Barber?
Here we are.
Thank you, Harry.
How on earth could Barber take the case?
Well, he said that as the only High Court judge at the Old Bailey, it was his duty. That's... way he tried it.
Did Heppenstall plead guilty?
Oh, yes. And Barber was beastly to him. Beastly. He said things that weren't necessary.
Francis, you have got it in for my judge.
Do the police think Bob Heppenstall is behind it all?
They don't.
Are there any other suspects?
Even... I hate to say this. It must be the sherry. Even you, Francis.
Oh, God. Indeed.
Hilda wouldn't hear of it.
Oh, darling Hilda. Thank her for me. No, on second thoughts, better not.
Better not.
How was the Athenaeum, William?
Oh, disastrous. Charles Harrington was there, more pompous than ever since he went to the Court of Appeal. He knows all about my accident.
Oh, dear.
Somebody has talked.
Must have.
It couldn't be Pettigrew. I mean, after all, we're such good friends.
Sally Parsons knows a lot of people.
What on earth are we going to do, Hilda?
Settle out of court.
How?
I shall go and see Sebald Smith.
Oh, no, it's out of the question. Now, you can't go behind the backs of solicitors. And Sebald Smith might twist it against us. I mean, we don't know the man.
I used to know him pretty well. Hmm? Before you and I. Very well indeed.
Hilda!
Not so well.
Well, you must go and tell Michael first.
Yes, tomorrow. He's usually at home on a Sunday.
Your worthy husband is on the spot.
So am I, Michael.
The other side have us by the short hairs.
You needn't show quite so much relish.
Something has to be done, Hilda, and soon.
I'm going to see Sebald Smith.
Dangerous.
Can it make things any worse?
We've been lucky. His solicitors could have been more on the ball. They could have dropped a few hints into the ears of the police.
What about?
I suppose the police were accused of suppressing a prosecution. They'd have to prosecute. That would turn the screw on us, all right.
Proceedings for dangerous driving have to be taken within 14 days, unless there was a notice of intended prosecution, and there wasn't.
What about the no insurance?
They have 6 months.
So they could still do it?
Definitely.
You always were a better lawyer than me, Hilda.
Yes, well, in my youth I made a special study of limitation periods.
Where will you be next week if I have to contact you?
Rampleford Assizes. Oh, except for tomorrow when I should go and see Sebel Smith. Once I've made sure Sally Parsons won't be there.
Ah, come and sit down, Hilda.
Nice to see you, Sebastian.
It's been ages. Do you remember that time in your conservatory?
As if it was yesterday. And how are you?
I've been invited to conduct.
Oh, you'll be a great success.
Well, I had to try something.
Well, conducting is the top of the tree.
But it won't give me back my finger.
You can't think how miserable this has made me, Sebastian.
It's bloody, bloody, bloody. Well, I think what it's done to me. Oh, but there's no point.
You needn't mince words as far as I'm concerned. If talking about it would help...
It's awfully good of you to come and see me, Hilda.
Well, I just had to.
No, I don't quite see why you have come.
Well, ever since I heard about this dreadful affair, which wasn't for several days...
Typical of the man.
I've been thinking of you lying here, eating your heart out.
Hilda, you haven't been concerned about me at all.
Sebastian!
You've come for a purpose.
Can't you guess?
To ask me to be lenient with your husband.
Now, I want to do what's best in everybody's interest.
He wants to see how cheaply he can get out of it.
Look, I didn't even tell him I was coming. Sebastian, if you insist on the demands your lawyers are making, William will be ruined.
That won't break my heart.
And I shall be ruined.
Ah, now we are getting to the point. I should be sorry to see you deprived of the flesh pots, Hilda. But I warn you, I set a high value on my hands.
Well, a bankrupt debtor is no good to anyone. Either you force William off the bench or you let him stay there, earning his salary.
No, there's no point in this. There really isn't. Talk to my solicitors, not me.
It's nearly 7 a.m, Derek. I've come to take over guard duty.
I wish we had a better armchair.
No sound from inside William's room.
An occasional snore.
You're looking sad.
I've had a letter from Sheila, my fiancée.
Oh, tell me about her.
She's a nurse. Her father runs a small engineering firm. She says he's in deep trouble, but she doesn't say what.
Oh, dear, dear.
Oh, and there's this little package addressed to the judge.
Oh, is it safe to open it?
It looks like a wedding cake box.
Oh, I can't think of anyone.
It isn't heavy enough for explosive.
I'll open it.
Be careful.
I am.
It couldn't be poisoned wedding cake.
Don't be frivolous, Derek.
Sorry.
Derek, it's a... Look.
A dead mouse.
Oh.
With a label round its neck.
Horrible. Horrible.
When the cat's away. Will you show this to the judge?
I don't want to alarm him.
Is it Heppenstall again?
I know who sent this disgusting thing.
Who?
It was directed against me.
But who?
Sally Parsons.
Sebald Smith's girlfriend.
We can expect no spark of compassion from that quarter. My journey was wasted.
Ah! Mr. Marshall.
Good evening, Mr. Beamish.
Hello.
I was about to go to bed.
I have had a most successful evening.
Good.
Defeated the enemy, I did, at darts.
Enemy?
Your local army champion.
Well done.
You are on early turn tonight, eh, Marshal?
What do you know about that?
I should have been a pretty poor judge's clerk if I hadn't spotted it, eh?
Does everybody in the house know?
Well, Mrs. Square's not interested in anything that can't be cooked and eaten. Two maids wouldn't notice anything that wasn't shoved under their noses. But Savage, oh, yeah, he knows all about it. Oh, yeah, yeah, the butler knows. As for what the sutler bore, see, the butler saw, I don't know. I haven't discussed it with him.
I'm glad.
Well, you thought I would.
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm sorry to see a young gentleman like you losing your beauty sleep for nothing. You see, either it's an outside job or it's an inside one. If it's outside, what are the police for? If it's inside, well, it's only me and Savage. And why should either of us want to lose our jobs? Still, if it amuses her black-eyed ladyship...
That's enough, Mr. Beamish.
The Ark could have told you that nothing would happen here at Rampleford.
Why?
Francis Pettigrew hadn't got any briefs here, so he won't be coming.
I'll see you in the morning, Mr. Beamish, just before we leave for court.
Is my wig on straight?
Perfectly.
Has the High Sheriff arrived, Beamish?
Yes, my lord, just.
I didn't hear the rolls.
That's the point about a rolls.
Huh? All right, let's go downstairs, then.
Very good. Here we are.
Now, Beamish, you just stay up there.
Yes, after you, lady. Yes,
you're sure you want to come to court today, Hilda?
I'll follow you down.
Well, you don't have to.
I'm going, William. I know my eyes still looks
why
nasty.
Can't there be more light on these stairs?
I'll speak to them about it, my lord.
What the...
God! William! William, he's fallen.
My lord, you slipped.
What happened?
Let me help you up, my lord.
You didn't care, William. Oh,
my wig, it's fallen off.
Look, that stair rod.
What?
It's missing.
It is, my lady.
Someone removed it, deliberately.
Beamish didn't fall.
Are you all right, my lord?
I don't think I will go to court, William.
I shall have to set off now, or we'll be late. See you here about 5 o'clock, dear.
This letter came for you, William. By hand.
Oh, not another.
Well, it looks as though it could. I mean, the same sort of envelope and typing.
Yes.
I nearly put it straight in the fire.
Yes, the type is the same.
Read it, then.
You're not going to get off as easy as this again, you know.
No. I've also had a letter from Michael.
Oh, go on.
Sebald Smith won't come down by a penny. Ugh. And they demand a speedy settlement.
What are we going to do, Hilda?
Economise. Rigidly. Starting when we get to Whitsea tomorrow. And be on our guard. Derek Marshall and I will look after you, William. We have a plan.
What sort of...
No need to trouble you about it. Vigilance, that's the word, day and night.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, tell me, Hilda, please.
All right, then. Derek and I are taking it in turns to sit outside your door during the night.
You are?
To protect you.
That's very good.
I'm on first watch tonight. Then tomorrow night at Whitsea I'll be on second, and Derek first.
Who can that be?
I can't leave my post. At 4 o'clock in the morning, what's going on? And where's Hilda? She should have taken over at 3. She's late. I'd better go. It'll wake the whole household. All right, all right. Who on earth can it be? Just a minute.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, Constable?
Sorry to disturb you.
What's wrong?
There's a light showing just round here.
Where?
You step outside, sir.
There shouldn't be a light.
Where?
The light.
The window's open.
Strange.
The wind's blowing the curtain.
What's happening, Derek?
There's a constable. A light in the library.
Oh, we'll see to it, officer.
Very good, ma'am.
Thank you for telling us.
Good night, then.
Good night, officer.
Good night. Thank you.
We'd better look in the library.
Do you think someone's got in?
Oh, I hope not.
The police will have seen.
Well, you know what they are. How many more of these attacks are we going
don't
to have
worry,
to put up with? Well, we shall soon see if anyone's in the library.
Be careful.
We've got to open the door.
Suppose he's armed.
Who?
Whoever might be behind.
Imagination.
The window. Wide enough for someone to...
Who used this library yesterday?
Nobody. So far as I know, an intruder wouldn't put the light on.
We'd better go and see that William's all right.
We're not at our post.
I overslept. Did you keep away?
More or less.
I hope William is all right.
We'll check.
I say... Derek, can you smell anything?
I don't think so.
Gas?
Yes, gas.
Definitely.
But where?
William's bedroom. My God.
The smell.
The gas fire.
I'll turn it off.
I'll open the window, quick.
Where the hell's the tap?
Down by the right.
What's happening? What is it? Hmm?
Down.
The right-hand side, Derek. There, can't you see? Oh, this window.
What's got it?
It won't open.
What's happening? I don't understand, Hilda.
Let me, Hilda.
Stop. Hurry, Derek.
The gas is off.
Gosh, you're sick.
Gas.
There's a smell of gas.
Now. Together.
One, two, three.
Gas, open the window.
What the hell do you think we're trying to do?
I don't feel well.
That's it.
Hilda, Marshall, kindly tell me
you
what...
You left the gas on.
I turned it off.
You can't
I'm sure, William. I did.
It was on, Judge.
We were just in time.
Oh, silly of me.
He was lucky Hilda smelt it.
Should we get a doctor?
It's the sleeping pills.
You may wake up with a headache.
Well, I do these days, right? Well, good night, then. Thank you.
There isn't much gas left in the room, really.
No. Oh, well. Good night, William. Be more careful in future.
Thank you, dear.
Good night, Judge.
Good night.
Can't have been turned on for long.
William's been in bed for over 5 hours. Somebody got into this room while you were asleep, Derek Marshall.
I wasn't asleep.
You said you were.
He could have done it himself, deliberately.
How dare you? Go to bed. I'll see you in the morning when you're more yourself.
No.
Shall I send for extra toast, Judge?
I have to go and polish up my judgment in the Factory Act case.
You're sure you're feeling all right, William?
I must be careful to turn off the tap.
I'll be ready at 10 to 10. Oh, I told the High Sheriff not to be 2 minutes late, as he was yesterday.
Hilda, about last night. I'm sorry if I...
And I'm sorry, Derek, if I...
Leaving that light on in the library could have been deliberate.
To lure you from William's door? Yes, but who?
If no one got in through the window...
Someone employed here. We have to be on our guard in every direction now, Derek.
You'll tell the police about the gas?
If I did, what would they do first?
Well, see the judge.
Yes. And he doesn't think someone tried to kill him. And there's another reason. Suppose... I don't know how to say this, Derek. Talking to you at all about these things, I... But suppose, just suppose you were right last night. What you said, that William did really mean to... Oh, Derek.
Don't cry, Hilda.
William is a very proud man. Intensely proud of himself and of his position.
Hilda, dear Hilda, please.
He is in danger of losing that position. He's been terribly, terribly worried. William is in many ways a very reserved man. Sometimes I wonder whether I really know him myself. But we must get ready for court. Today should be interesting. A murder. I read the depositions. Martin Flack is prosecuting.
Please, Your Lordship. Members of the jury, the prisoner, Jack Ockenhurst, is defended by my learned friend, Mr. Francis Pettigrew. The prisoner worked as a blacksmith in the village of Eastbury. He is charged with the murder of Henry Palmer. The prosecution proposed to prove to you that the victim had, over a considerable period of time, indulged in an unlawful passion for the prisoner's wife. This was known to, or strongly suspected by, the prisoner. And on the night in question, the deceased was found outside the door of the prisoner's cottage, stabbed in the back by a deadly, sharp, stiletto-type dagger which the prisoner had kept in his smithy. The first witness is Alice Ockenhurst, the prisoner's wife. After she has answered my questions, you will hear her cross-examined by my learned friend, Mr. Pettigrew.
Mrs. Ockenhurst, I think that you and the accused man have been married for some 9 years.
Nearly 10.
The marriage was happy at first, wasn't it?
Marriages always are at first, aren't they, Mr. Pettigrew?
Oh, are they? I really don't know. I have no experience.
Mr. Pettigrew, the witness is giving evidence, not you.
Sorry, ma'am. Mrs. Ockenhurst, when did your marriage start to be unhappy?
Oh, about 3 years ago, I suppose.
Was it about that time that you and the deceased man first became intimate?
Depends what you mean by... intimate.
Not a very clear question, but you know what it means, Mrs. Ockenhurst.
Do I, Your Lordship?
Well, you should do, so answer it.
What was the question?
Mr. Pettigrew?
I shall not pursue it, Miller.
Oh, very well.
Mrs. Ockenhurst, did you meet the deceased man Palmer while you were working behind the bar at the Dog and Partridge?
Yes.
First, he was one customer amongst many.
That's right.
And then your relationship ripened.
Depends what you mean by ripened.
An unsuitable word for a woman like this, Mr. Pettigrew.
It means what I think it means. The answer is yes.
When did it ripen?
Oh, about a couple of years back.
Were you soon meeting Henry Palmer several times a week, expressing your passion behind your husband's back?
I wouldn't do it in front of his face, would I?
Madam, this is a very serious matter.
But serious for me, your lordship.
Did the time come when your feelings towards the deceased began to cool?
Oh, doesn't it always?
Did it with you, madam?
I just told you.
Did you then try to end the relationship?
Yes. But it wasn't right, was it?
You put it on ethical grounds.
But what's that?
Mr. Pettigrew, you should know better.
The fact is, Mrs. Ockenhurst, you had met another male customer of the Dog and Partridge, and he began to make advances to you.
Well, lots of men do that, the Dog and P. You know what they're like.
I've never had the good fortune to visit that hostelry.
No, but you're a man, aren't you?
Mrs. Ockenhurst!
In fairness to the gentleman concerned, look at the name on this piece of paper and tell me if you know him. Well, Mrs. Ockenhurst?
Know him.
You know that man?
Of course I do. He's a customer.
Mm-hmm. Did he take a particular liking to you?
Yes and no.
Madam, you are coming near to committing contempt.
Am I? Well, I wouldn't know.
Did you become friendly with the man whose name is written there?
He talked to me a lot. He's quite an amusing bloke. He walked me home once or twice.
Did Henry Palmer resent it?
Well, I don't suppose he liked it.
He wanted you for himself, and he kept pestering you, did he not?
Well, he did pester me a bit.
Did he threaten to tell your husband about you and this other man?
He did say something about that.
Did you want him to tell your husband?
Of course I didn't.
And on the night of the murder, did the deceased come to your house to have it out with you, knowing that your husband was not at home?
How can the witness say what the deceased knew?
I apologize, Milan.
Counsel of your experience should know better.
Mrs. Ockenhurst, please take the knife. Exhibit 4.
You want me to hold it?
Please.
It's got the blood on it.
It's quite dry now.
Do as the counsel asks, Mrs. Ockenhurst.
All right. Well, what am I supposed to do with it now?
Did you know where your husband kept that knife?
In a drawer in the forge.
An unlocked drawer?
Are you suggesting, Mr. Pettigrew, that this witness committed the murder?
Miller, it is no part of my duty to suggest that anyone committed the murder. My submission will be at the proper time that the prosecution has not proved that my client did so. With profound respect, I'm entitled to put questions to the witness to assist the jury in arriving at their conclusion.
But certain suggestions have been made to the witness, which, to my mind at least, can lead to only one inference. In justice to her, if to nobody else, they should be made plainly. However, if you are reluctant to ask the question, I will do so myself. Mrs. Ockenhurst, did you kill Henry Palmer?
No, Your Lordship, I did not.
Members of the jury, all the facts are now before you. After the evidence of the prisoner's wife, I suggest that you place not the faintest reliance upon any part of it. Will anyone ever know the precise role she played in the melancholic chain of events? One thing is certain. She is a thoroughly immoral and unscrupulous young woman who would not hesitate to say or do whatever happens to further her interest at any particular time. Who can ever be sure that it was not her hand that held that fatal knife, as it took away the life of the deceased man, Henry Palmer?
Members of the jury, it has been argued by Mr. Pettigrew, whose conduct of the defense in this case has unhappily been less than perfect, that the prisoner's wife may be the guilty person. But you are 12 reasonable men and women of the world. Can you really attach the slightest weight to that suggestion?
And once you rule out Alice Arkenhurst, at whom else can the finger of guilt be pointed but the man who sits there in the dock?
I don't see how the jury can be long after that summing up, Martin.
Old Father William has not been on his best behaviour.
He hasn't got a best behaviour.
He gave you a rough ride, Francis.
I've never been treated like that by any judge in the whole of my career. I don't mind so much for myself. It's a client I'm thinking of. There he is, fighting for his life, and the shaver has to behave like that.
You know what he's like.
I certainly do. I've known him for a long time, and I can honestly say that I loathe him more than any man I've ever met. One of these days I'll find a way of getting back at him.
He didn't give your chap a chance in that summing up.
There's only one end for Arkenhurst now.
To be taken to a lawful place of execution and there be hanged by the neck until you be dead, and that your body shall be buried within the precincts of the prison wherein you shall have been last confined. And may the Lord have mercy upon your soul, Jack Arkenhurst.
Amen. All persons having anything further to do before my lord the king's justice may now depart hence and give their attendance tomorrow morning at 10:30.
Will they hang him?
Certain to. Arkenhurst took the life of another human being. See to that, Marshal.
Somehow it doesn't seem fair.
But he must pay with his own life. Justice demands it.
Ah, Mr. Beamish.
My lord, the clerk of assize cannot find Exhibit 4.
What's that?
The knife.
I haven't got it.
Who had it last?
The prisoner, when he was giving evidence.
Well, whoever's got it had better be careful. I've never seen such a deadly weapon.
Arkenhurst handed it back to his counsel.
Well, see Francis Pettigrew.
It appears he left the building rather hurriedly.
Did he? Indeed.
But nobody's going to want the knife.
The Court of Criminal Appeals?
Oh, no. We better get back to the lodgings.
Yes, the last evening on the circuit, thank goodness. I shall never come back to Marchshire, never.
We have to settle the circuit accounts this evening, Marshal.
Do we?
All their petty cash items and so on. You have all the receipts, Beamish.
Indeed, my lord.
In date order?
Of course.
Starting at the top.
In your usual fashion, my lord.
Your last duty as Marshal, to go through the accounts. Sort of audit.
With pleasure.
As soon as we've had dinner.
The last dinner, eh?
No need for frivolity, Marshal.
William?
Yes, dear?
This cheque. It's made out for cash. Who cashed it?
Beamish, of course. Usual petty cash.
It's been altered.
What?
Look, Derek. TY in 60.
A different pen.
With a naught added. Touch that bell, Derek.
No. Not Beamish. There's a mistake, perhaps.
I never did like the man.
Not dishonesty, Hilda. I mean, he's never been dishonest.
Never been found out.
We mustn't prejudge.
What innocent explanation can there be?
Well...
What do you say, Derek?
With respect, Judge, who else precisely?
Come in.
Beamish.
Yes, my lord?
We've been going through the accounts.
I can see.
This cheque.
Yeah?
Look at it. Examine it. At your leisure.
Well, my lady?
How does it come to be made out for £60?
Well, it's all in the accounts.
The counterfoil says six, Mr. Beamish.
Yeah, well, that's a slip of the pen.
The receipts will show.
We'll look at them, shall we, Beamish?
Do what you like.
What do you mean, Beamish?
What I said, my lord.
Did you alter that cheque fraudulently?
If you want to put it like that.
Beamish, I could hardly believe it. You are dismissed. I ought to have you prosecuted. A gross betrayal of trust.
Yeah, all right, that's enough. I'm not in one of your blasted sermons.
Beamish!
So I am sacked. Well, what of it? Not the only one that's due for the sack.
That's enough.
You're a fine one to talk about prosecuting people. If there wasn't one law for the rich...
Silence,
prosecute
Beamish.
Me!
Did you hear?
You just try it.
Don't, Beamish. It's pointless.
Oh, there's a lot I could say about the goings-on on this circuit. And about that fine lady of yours.
Get out, Beamish. Now.
Don't forget this. I and mighty Mr. Justice Barber. You've had plenty of warnings. And here's the final one. You've got something coming to you.
Good
Detective Inspector Mallett is here now, Commissioner.
Ah, Mallett, yes. Come and sit down, Mallett.
Good morning, sir.
I thought I'd better have a word with you myself, because Markshire still doesn't like the idea of us at the Yard taking over. Provincial forces never do, but I read all the statements, and the ones from Lady Barber and Derek Marshall are interesting. There is a discrepancy.
Her ladyship didn't tell me about the mouse incident.
Ah, good man, Mallett.
Well, Marshall can't have invented it, huh?
It doesn't fit in with her ladyship's theory.
Happens to all. I didn't tell her that we found him.
You haven't collared Beamish?
He must be getting short of money, though, Commissioner.
Everything points to him.
A mental case, obviously.
Now get Beamish, and there'll be no more threats or attacks on the judge. That's my theory.
Usual place, Nelly.
Pleasure, Mr. Pettigrew.
I say, isn't it? It is. Francis Pettigrew.
Derek. I haven't seen you for ages.
Not since Markshire Assizes finished.
It must be a couple of months.
I've got a job, Ministry of Contracts.
Ah. No further threats to Father William.
Oh, you're here before me. The solicitors for that pianist wrote the other day, wanting a statement. I ignored it.
Give the same statement to both sides. That's what I did. But the case will never get to court. It'll be settled pro bono publico.
It's all wrong, Francis.
Uh-uh.
My fiancé's father, George Bartram, is being prosecuted for knocking somebody down. But Mr. Justice Barber got off scot-free.
Father William isn't exactly getting off scot-free. And not according to what I hear.
Thank you for coming to see me, Judge.
No trouble at all, Lord Chancellor.
How is your health?
My health?
You've not been well.
Well, I've had certain problems, but my health...
Judge, what are the prospects of that civil claim being settled quickly?
Very slight, I'm afraid, sir.
Public confidence in our judges is essential.
Yes, I entirely agree, Lord Chancellor.
So bad.
But I would like to say...
If the claim arrives at court or the press get hold of it in some other way, then I'm afraid there'll be no alternative.
Resignation?
The judiciary as a whole, that's my concern.
To resign now, in the middle of the legal year, would be...
Well?
A public confession of misconduct.
That's why I asked about your health.
Ah, I see. My pension...
The proportionate one. But you'd have to wait till you're 65... I think so.
Lord Chancellor, that would be disastrous. Just give me time, please.
Well, let me see. It is now March. Provided no writ is issued, I am prepared to wait until the end of the long vacation. If by that time the Sebald Smith affair is dead and buried, all well and good.
Dr. Fairmile, who is it?
Hilda Barber. My husband, he's been taken ill. I've just come home and found him. I know it's late.
You say ill, Lady Barber.
An overdose. Accidental. Sleeping tablet. Luminal.
Is he unconscious?
Not quite, Doctor.
Keep Sir William awake.
Right.
How many has he taken?
The bottle's empty, but how many...
Try to make him sick.
Yes.
Salt water and a spoon down his throat. And I'll be there in about 10 minutes.
Great relief, Doctor.
Lucky you rang me immediately.
It is very careless of him.
I'm afraid... Sorry, Lady Barber, but I shall have to report this.
Report?
I'm afraid so.
The police?
My duty. On your piano is a letter. It's addressed to the coroner. But they will be very discreet. Incidentally, the sooner Sir William gets back to work, the better.
He's sitting at the Old Bailey on Monday.
He won't be driving.
No, we're hiring a car with a driver.
You had a letter from your brother this morning, Hilda.
Yes. Sebald Smith has made a final offer. It's the same as the last one. We have until the day after tomorrow to accept it, or they issue a writ.
Then this will be the last Old Bailey sessions I shall ever attend. I shall send in my resignation at the end of the week.
Oh, we're here.
Isn't that... That man on the pavement.
Beamish.
Excuse me, my lord. Excuse me. Would your lordship allow me to...
No, Beamish.
Just a few words.
Certainly not.
I have nothing to say to you, Beamish.
Oh,
cheek of the man.
Members of the jury, do you find George Bartram guilty or not guilty of dangerous driving?
We find him not guilty.
And that is the verdict of you all?
It is.
There is, however, the other indictment to which Bartram pleaded guilty, driving a motor car without valid insurance. George Bartram, this is a very serious matter. A motor car is a dangerous weapon. Innocent people can suffer by it, and that is why Parliament has made insurance cover compulsory. You will be fined £50 and go to prison for 3 months.
You'll feel better when you've had a cup of tea, Sheila.
Daddy, he'll never stand it, Derek. 3 months.
A monstrous sentence. I haven't told a soul about it till now, but when I was his marshal, he did exactly the same thing himself. Knocked somebody down when he wasn't insured. It was covered up.
Derek, I must go.
Where?
If anything's to be done, I must do it myself. Love me, Derek, whatever happens.
You're welcome to stay here in Mr. Pettigrew's room and wait for him, Mr...
Marshal.
Yeah. But I can't be sure when he'll be back from court, Mr. Marshal. He's across at the law courts doing a civil.
I shall have to go in a quarter of an hour. I've got to be at the Old Bailey at 4 o'clock.
Do stop pushing, please! Please!
Stand back! We don't want to clean out sergeant.
The judge and Lady Barbara will be coming out any minute.
We don't want to arrest anybody. If you don't clear a path for his lordship... Hey, you! Stop pushing!
I want to get to the front!
You can't!
I must!
If you don't stop... Hey, what's your name, then? What is your name?
Beamish!
I'll have you inside the baby, Mr. Beamish, if you won't let his lordship out.
You, madam! Stand back!
I want to see the judge!
Nobody can see him!
Look at him!
You can look at him in court!
I did! He sentenced my father!
Who are you?
Sheila Bartram!
Well, you better not start anything!
He's a beast!
I warned you!
Hello, Mr. Pettigrew. Are you trying to get through, sir?
I'm looking for someone, officer. There he is. Derek Marshall, now wait, don't do it. I know how you feel, but don't.
The judge, he's coming out.
Make way for his lordship and Lady Barbara. Let them get to the car, please.
My lord, I must insist.
Beamish.
Listen to me, you beast.
What are you trying to do, madam? Keep your hands down.
Don't touch me. Get off me.
I can't get through, officer. They're in my way.
Make way for his lordship, please. This is disorderly conduct.
Keep behind me, Hilda. Officer, if you can't manage to...
He's fallen.
There's a knife in his back.
Now that the city police have handed the murder over to us...
I thought they would, Commissioner.
Having regard to all the ramifications, now here's their fire. And I want you to drop everything.
The murder weapon, Commissioner. There's been some...
The knife was an exhibit in a murder the judge tried at Rambleford Assizes.
Yes, but how did it...
It went missing at the end of the case. The persons who could have taken it include the judge himself, his wife, his marshal, his then clerk, a man called Beamish, and Mr. Francis Pettigrew.
The barrister?
Yes, he was in the case. He also happened to be outside the bailey at the time of the murder, as were the marshal and his fiancée, Miss Sheila Bartram. Beamish, the marshal, and Miss Bartram were arrested for disorderly conduct. The marshal's statement is here at the top of the fire.
Yes. I killed Mr. Justice Barber. It was for his outrageous conduct at the Old Bailey today. I got a knife and went to the judge's entrance. I saw my fiancée, Miss Sheila Bartram, trying to speak to him. He was grabbed by a constable and manhandled. That made me lose my head. I stabbed the judge between the shoulder blades. Miss Bartram had nothing whatever to do with the judge's death. I decline to say where I obtained the knife. Well?
He's trying to keep Miss Bartram out of it.
Does Marshall know where the knife did come from?
Nobody knew when he made his statement.
Any fingerprints, Commissioner?
Not clear enough. Oh, by the way, you can rule Beamish out. None of the statements put him near to the judge.
Beamish is a first-class darts player.
Oh, well, I withdraw what I said.
Mr. Pettigrew has given a statement, I see.
Not very informative.
Hmm. Well, I shall go and interview Mr. Francis Pettigrew myself.
Ask me anything you like, Inspector.
Why were you outside the Old Bailey, Mr. Pettigrew?
Why do you ask?
You had no brief there.
True.
I must insist, sir.
And I must insist on my right to remain silent.
You remember the Ockenhurst murder?
Vividly.
The knife that killed Mr. Justice Barber was the one from that trial.
No. Really?
You were looked for afterwards to see if you'd taken the knife by mistake.
I remember going for a walk. I wanted to walk off my temper.
Temper with the judge?
I will answer that one, yes. He had it in for my client from the start, and for me.
Did you take that knife, Mr. Pettigrew?
I did not, Inspector.
Mr. Derek Marshall came to this room on the afternoon of the murder and waited for you.
True.
Then he went to the Bailey.
I saw him there.
He has confessed to the murder.
Oh. Poor wretched boy, that's too bad. They'll hang him. Oh, dear, dear, dear. But I can answer that question now. I went to the Bailey because I had a suspicion Derek might do something silly. He told me some time ago about the Bartram case, and at lunch in the temple I heard something that Barber was behaving very badly towards Bartram. And then my clerk told me that Derek Marshall had been anxious to see me. I felt extremely worried, so I took a taxi and dashed to the Bailey. I was just too late.
Today, Marshall was shown the knife. He withdrew his confession.
Oh. Have you been making a fool of me, Mr. Mallett?
I wanted to know why you were there when it happened.
Why did Marshall make that statement?
To shield Miss Bartram.
You thought she'd done it?
I believe so.
Typically gallant of the young man.
Lady Barber thinks all the things that happened on the circuit were connected, including the motor accident on the 12th of October, 1939.
How precise you detectives are.
Have to be.
I had forgotten the date. You know, do you, that the judge was under pressure to resign.
Mm-hmm. And attempted suicide. Lady Barber saved his life.
Yes. How could any woman be married to Father William all those years and want to save his life? But I doubt if I can help you further, Mr. Mallett. I could give you a list of people who disliked Barber, a long list.
If you give me the name of any other person with a motive for killing him on the 12th of April, 1940, I'll be quite satisfied.
12th of April? Yes. So it was. Now, this is interesting. Very interesting, Inspector.
Sorry to disturb you, Francis.
Delighted to see you, my dear fellow.
This is Sheila, my fiancée, Francis Pettigrew.
How do you do?
How do you do?
We've come from the magistrates. They've remanded Beamish for 7 days.
For disorderly conduct?
There was talk of a more serious charge.
Oh, no. Beamish wouldn't have the guts.
I agree.
And what did the magistrates do to you two?
The disorderly charges were dropped.
Oh, splendid.
It wouldn't have looked good for a member of the bar to...
Or a nurse.
Has someone been showing favoritism?
No, no.
Bad for the ideals, that, Derek. Oh, excuse me. Yes. Rudy says here? Well, then show him in. Inspector Mallett. He was here yesterday. I must be top of the suspect list.
Sheila and I ought to go.
Oh, no, no, no. You're both involved, if you see what I mean. Come in. Come in, Inspector.
Sorry to intrude again, sir. But I have to inform you that Lady Barber threw herself under a train this morning.
No!
Good God.
And she's...
A note was found in her handbag, Mr. Pettigrew. Is this your writing?
Yes. Yes, sir. So I am responsible for her death.
It was this note that made her do away with us, wasn't it?
I love that woman. Yes, it was.
It's cryptic to the layman, but to the point.
What does the note mean?
Well, tell us all you know first, Inspector, in confidence.
Well, when I came into this case, I thought more than one person was involved. The chocolates didn't fit with the rest. The first two letters came from Heppenstall, I felt sure. But he didn't assault Lady Barber.
Then who?
Beamish. He was making his way back to bed after being elsewhere. His moral character. He panicked when he bumped into Lady Barber.
The chocolates?
Sally Parsons. The fall downstairs and the gas incident looked like attempts on the judge's life, but in both cases, Lady Barber was there to save him before witnesses.
Inspector, are you saying that Lady Barber was the murderer?
First, she was genuinely trying to protect her husband. Then, the sham attacks. It was a turning point between the two phases. The dead mouse.
The mouse? Turning point.
Till then, there had been hope of settling Sybil Smith's claim reasonably, but the mouse indicated Sally Parsons would never allow it.
The sham attacks?
To divert suspicion.
Why did she kill her husband?
Whoever killed the judge not only showed daring, but urgency.
Lady Barber was just behind the judge.
The motive is somewhat technical. Our legal department tried to explain it to me.
The date gives the key. The murder was exactly 6 months after the motor accident, to the day.
Well, so?
Well, the answer is in subsection 3 of section 1 of the Law Reform Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1934. Now, put into non-technical language, it amounts to this. You can maintain an action against a chap for running you down, even if he's dead. But to do so, you must fulfill one of two conditions. Either you can start your action while he's still alive, in which case John Brown's body can moulder in the grave. But your case goes marching along, and you can cash in on the executors. Or you can start your action with John Brown already mouldering. But in that case, you have only got 6 months to do it in, accounting from the time his car hit you. If you choose to spend 6 months palavering about the rights and wrongs of your case before you kick off and the man dies on you, then your action descends into the grave and moulders also. And serve you right.
And that's what happened in this case.
That is what happened in this case. And it happened because Hilda, God rest her soul, meant it to happen. She was a lawyer, you see. And it so chanced that her pet study was what is known as the limitation of actions, a subject I used to think dull, but never will again. She knew that Sybil Smith's action would ruin her husband completely if it was fought. She knew also that if he died, she would be ruined by it just the same. So if she set herself to keep him alive and the plaintiff's solicitors at bay until the 6 months were up. And that was why she had to stop him from committing suicide last month. And that was why, the moment the period had gone by, she had to kill him before the writ could be issued.
My goodness.
But what about your note, Mr. Pettigrew? 1938, 2KB, 203.
Yes.
What does it mean?
Yes. It's a reference to the case of Daniels versus Vaux. The facts were similar to these. The defendant died 6 months after the accident. No writ had been issued, so the plaintiff got nothing.
So when she read the note, Lady Barber realized you knew everything.
Yes. Yes, this must be the first time anyone has been driven to suicide. By a quotation from the law reports.
Tragedy at Law was dramatized for radio by James Pickles, from the novel by Cyril Hare, with Benjamin Whitrow as Mr. Justice Barber and June Barry as Hilda Barber. The rest of the cast was as follows: Francis Pettigrew, Hayden Jones, Marshall, Paul Wills, Beamish, Timothy Bateson, Inspector Mallett and Martin Flack, William Edel. The High Sheriff and Sebald Smith, John Lindstrom, the Lord Chancellor, Conrad Phillips, Chief Constable, John Abineri, the Commissioner, Rex Holdsworth, Sheila Bartram, Moya Leslie, Michael and Dr. Fairmile, Michael Jenner, and Mrs. Habberton, Ellen McIntosh. Other parts were played by William Eadle, Rex Holdsworth, Michael Jenner, Moya Leslie, John Lindstrom, Ellen McIntosh, and Conrad Phillips. The play was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller. And since the events depicted in this play, the law as to when civil proceedings must be commenced has been changed. Well, tomorrow evening at 7, there's more drama to thrill and chill you when the first of a six-part serial, Curlew in Autumn, begins by that master of the radio thriller, Edward Boyd. It's set in a small town on the southwest coast of Scotland, where lawyer Peter Cowman has an increasingly unprofitable practice and an increasingly unhappy private life. Then early one morning, he receives a phone call that will change everything.
Get lost, whoever you are.
I am Magda von Schellenberg.
Never heard of you.
People don't speak to me like that.
God almighty, it is 4 o'clock in the morning.
Not where I am.
And wherever you are is the center of the universe.
I am in New York.
Give my regards to Broadway.
But the enigmatic Magda von Schellenberg is a persistent lady. She's also very rich. Rich in a way that will send Peter Kalman into a maze of dead nurses, old hermits who eat seaweed, poachers who wear striped pyjamas, and cottages which should be derelict but aren't. And at the centre of the maze lurks a very fat man. Episode 1 of Curlew in Autumn, a new thriller serial for radio by Edward Boyd, begins at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.